getting closer and closer to the end of the year. We're in the final quarter of the year now, and of course our focus is on getting the crops in, but we also should be looking at end of the year bookkeeping issues. Bridget Finke is with us, attorney with Valley Crossing Law Offices over in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, we always talk about estate planning and getting ready for the next generation to come in, either as mom and dad exit or as some kind of a benefactor in the future. But how important on a year-to-year basis are some of these end-of-the-year bookkeeping needs and necessities to make it work for, if you're going to put together some kind of an estate plan for the future? I would imagine you've got to have some pretty solid numbers.
Well, right. Particularly at year end, the thing we talk about the most is those folks who part of their plan is doing some amount of gifting to the next generation, because, you know, prices being what they are right now, there's almost no transition plan that doesn't involve some sort of either sales for less than fair market value to the next generation or some component of gifting from mom and dad to that next generation. And so a lot of people like to take advantage of one of our tax-free pots of money, which is the annual gift tax exclusion.
Now, what is that, and what does that apply to? Does that apply to land? Does that apply to buildings? Does it apply to livestock, machinery? What can fall into that category?
Yeah, it can be any kind of asset, and that magic number right now is $14,000. So that's per person to as many people as you want. So dad can give Junior $14,000. Mom can give Junior $14,000.
Can it be in cash, too?
It sure can be in cash. And so cash is the easy one, right? Because easy to value.
Yeah, it is.
And so the one thing that, you know, I like to remind people this time of year, if we're thinking about doing that gifting in cattle or land or buildings, or more often it's usually some sort of ownership interest in an entity mm-hmm. that owns that thing, you know, LLC or a corporation,
right.
You know, remember we do have to value those things to be able to figure out, are we under that $14,000 number or not? And so usually we're getting some outside help to get that value put on
there. I was going to say, does the government allow you to value that 1975 pickup at $14,000 and then it's only worth about $3,000 in reality? Is there someone or somewhere we can go? Are there licensed appraisers that you have to bring in? And $14,000 on a farm nowadays isn't a lot.
No, and that is why those business entities tend to work nice for us, is that we can give a slice of the whole mm-hmm. instead of having to figure out, well, you know, how many head of milking cows can we give for $14,000, and then how are you going to keep straight which cows are your cows and which cows are my cows in the herd? Why often we're mm-hmm. looking at the entity as a whole, and those folks are usually preparing a balance sheet every year, and now more of the banks are requiring what we call fair market value balance sheet, which is putting the true value on the assets, as opposed to historically people did those book value balance sheets, and that's where we're taking off that depreciation mm-hmm. and we're putting the land on there at what we paid for it. And we know that if we've had land for a long period of time, what it's really worth today
is a lot more than when you bought it.
Exactly. And so each of the kind of assets have a different kind of person that could value those. And, you know, some things, when we've got market prices, that's all we have to do is document, you know, what's the spot price on this particular asset. But other things like real estate, we're going to want to get that licensed appraiser in there.
But do we need an appraiser, or can we just go by the fact that, well, the neighbor sold land for X number of dollars an acre and the other neighbor, so we can do a neighborhood price, so to speak, or not?
Well, at the end of the day, we're looking to put a fair market value on, and looking at comparable sales, you know, obviously mm-hmm. is what we look at to put that value on. And part of it is a little bit of who's signing your tax return and what's their comfort level, right? So I have some of my tax preparers that say, you know, hey, we got a good value on there. And if we needed to, you know, if the IRS came knocking and we needed to shore it up and show, you know, we would be in a stone's throw mm-hmm. in the numbers. I've got other accountants that say, hey, I want that appraisal in my file that shows that value so that I know if the IRS comes, I've got that documented. The other thing with this $14,000 exclusion is the whole idea is you don't have to report it, right? You don't have to put that on a gift tax return anywhere, because if you're under that $14,000 number. But that also means the statute of limitations isn't running on that particular transfer. So I've had more farmers who are doing the regular transfers mm-hmm. that actually just give that little bit more and then report it.
Give a little bit more than $14,000.
Right. file the return, report it. Now you're starting a 3-year statute of limitations. So at least Uncle Sam can only go back 3 years and look to see if you were wrong on those values. So it's kind of the balance of, hey, do we want to stay under so we avoid that return, or do we go that little bit over, use up a little bit of our lifetime number, which is that 5.4 9 million, but then get that clock running on that statute of limitations. So I've been seeing that more lately. Historically, everybody wanted to avoid the filing, but now more people are getting that clock running.
But I would think you'd want to get the clock running just to keep the IRS out of your business, because if they come in for one thing, doesn't that potentially open the door? They can look wherever they want?
Sure can. Sure can. And if your total combined estate is under that about $11 million right. mark, it's going to be a no harm, no foul, because ultimately you would have that much of the free money to spend anyway. But for these bigger farms, you know, sometimes we do bump up against that when you start thinking of thousands of acres of land and thousands of head of cattle. You know, we can run into that number. And so for them, it's worth not getting caught, not having more value drug back in, and potentially subjecting it to that 40% tax level for estate and gift tax.
That is a big number. When we do some gifting, is it only the parents can only give to their children? In other words, if my folks have the farm and they want to gift something to me, is it just to me, or is my wife, as a part of this, can she be gifted money too, even though she's not a blood relative?
She sure can. So actually, every individual can give up to $14,000 to as many individuals as they want. So if they want to give to
Related or not,
Bob Osold, Bridget Finke, you know, name the person, you can give as many as you want. But when we start talking about farm assets, usually we're interested in keeping those assets within a closely controlled group of individuals. And so that's always weighing that about, do we include the spouse or not, right? Because we've also had conversations, right, about the kids and their marriages and in-laws and worry about big divorce settlements and hurting the farm. So there's the flip side. If we give that $14,000, or mom and dad together give that $28,000 to daughter-in-law or son-in-law, you know, they're an owner. And so now there's no saying, oh, well, that was really just, you know, for our child, and we just did that for tax reasons. Well, that's not going to cut it in divorce court.
Interesting. Now, if you're going to do some taxing, tax-free gifting here at the end of the year, is it up until December 31st, or some of these things have some different sunset dates on them?
For the gifting, it's sign the dotted line by December 31.
All right. So get that done if you want to do that. And the appraisal is a very important part of this.
Correct. And, you know, sometimes to consider whether your farm went through appraisal for lending purposes, you know, unless you're one of those lucky farmers that doesn't have any debt. Most farms are getting reappraised now by the banks every 2 to 3 years. And
you
so
can use some of those numbers?
We can use some of those numbers. We got certified appraisals, and if they're close enough in time, and we always want to coordinate with that tax preparer for their comfort level as to how close is close enough.
All right. So some things to think about here as we get towards the end of the year, if you're thinking about some tax-free gifting. Bridget, they got more questions on this or anything about estate planning, the future of the farm, how do they get a hold of you at Valley Crossing Law Offices in Baldwin?
They can give me a call at 715-688-4045, or they can check us out at wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
Got your candy all bought for Halloween?
Not yet. Don't get me in trouble. I'll have kids at my door.
Yeah, that's always the fun of it. Bridget, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Bridget Finke, attorney with Valley Crossing Law Offices in Baldwin, with us once again to talk about the future of your farm.